And let's bow our heads to pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we gather here in your presence and we praise you for the wonder of this night, the excitement and sense of anticipation. And we pray that as we gather around your word, we'd find that wonder in Jesus Christ. We'd see our excitement fulfilled as we learn of who he is and what he's done. And our anticipation would see its fulfillment in him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, only a few hours now and you'll be able to open your Christmas presents. Maybe you've started already. Christmas has become a bit present mad, hasn't it? More and more commercial every year. Starts a week earlier every year, it seems. September, we'll be in August next time they start selling Christmas presents. And for many people, for most people perhaps, it is just a time for presents. Lots of lovely presents. And what do we Christians have to say about this? This never-ending desire for bigger and better presents that cost more and more money? I say, great! Bring it on! I want the biggest and best present ever. I want a really expensive present, something I can tell everyone about for weeks after Christmas. And God says in our passage from John's Gospel, okay, you've got it. You've got it. The biggest and best present ever, of infinite cost, something you tell everyone about, not just for weeks and weeks and weeks, but the rest of your life. It's there in verse 12. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In fact, this passage has two presents from God in it. He's given us one present, and if we accept that, he gives us another. So, what's the first present that God gives us? It is, of course, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage, he's called the Word. The Word, the one who is the source of divine wisdom. So, for example, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus, the source of all divine wisdom existing before the creation of the world, became a human. That's what Christmas is about, baby Jesus in the manger. It's amazing. But it is so easy to take him for granted. And we're used to thinking of him, aren't we, as maybe the best baby that ever lived. You know, as the carol says, little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Or maybe a great moral teacher, love your neighbour, and all that sort of thing. Or perhaps a figure from history, from before the days of science and technology, that kind of thing. Maybe some people are just used to thinking of Jesus as a swear word. We're so used to Jesus, it's easy to forget what a great present he is. But what is it that makes a present a really good present? Think about the Christmas presents you've had, the ones you can remember, the ones you really thought were fantastic. What made them great? They're often valuable, from someone who loves you, someone who you want to love you. Perhaps it's something you hadn't thought of, but it's a really good idea. And maybe it would have been a well-disguised present, so that you've got a real surprise when you actually got through all the paper and opened it. Well-disguised, a good idea, from someone who loves you, and valuable. These are the things that make a present a great Christmas present. And we can see all these things in this passage, in Jesus. So he's well-disguised. He came in a very small wrapper as a child, but look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Remember, Word is John's code name for Jesus, meaning the essence of life, the wisdom of God. And he says about him, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. Verse 3, through him all things were made. This is amazing. You'd never believe it if you just think of him as a baby wrapped up in cloths in a manger in Bethlehem. But when we unwrap who he is, we can see that he's God the Creator become human. He's a great present to the world and a well-disguised present. But he's not just a well-disguised present, he's also a good idea, one that we'd never think of on our own. Here's the good idea that Jesus, by becoming human, shows us God. So a little later on from the bit we had read, in verse 18, says this, No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Wow. So we can know God. Jesus is God the Son. He's made God known by living in this world as a person. A person like you and me. We could have seen him, touched him, we could have sat and listened to him, we could have talked to him. So Jesus, by becoming a human, makes God known to us. It's an idea we'd never thought of. It makes him a wonderful present. Well disguised, a good idea, and he's a present from someone who loves us. Later on in John's Gospel, we'll read these words. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. It should be a real surprise to learn that God loves us, shouldn't it? Because think how the world treats God. In fact, it's in this passage in chapter 1, verse 10. The true light, Jesus, came into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. The world that God has made is a world full of people that reject him. But God still loves us. It's an amazing thing. God still loves us and wants us to come back to him and make us fit to know him. And he's done that through Jesus. And that's why Jesus came. So he's well disguised. He's a good idea. And he's from someone who loves us. This is a really good present. And last but not least, he is incredibly valuable. A present that involved God in the greatest expense. Most of all, when Jesus died on the cross. And the Father and the Son became separated because of Jesus' death, while Jesus bore our sins so that we could be forgiven by him. Well disguised, a good idea from someone who loves us, incredibly valuable. Jesus is a really great present from God to the world. Now I want you to imagine that you're back at home. It's tomorrow morning. You turn the light on, the Christmas tree is there with all the presents underneath. Wow. What do you do? What do you do with the presents? David, it's a stupid question, you say. You rip off the paper and you open them, don't you? It's all very well being given a present. You actually have to do something about it. You have to receive it, don't you? Well, you don't have to. You could sort of leave them there. Go and get some breakfast, lunch, dinner. Let a couple of days go by and they're still sitting under the tree. Just leave the presents. That's not the point, is it? Presents are there to be received. And it's the same with this present from God. Jesus is given to the world and some people receive him, although some don't. So verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Even those people you think would be most likely to recognize Jesus and receive him for who he was, even they failed to receive him. But that wasn't the end of the story. Verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Those who received Jesus are those who believed in his name. And the Bible, when we talk about someone's name, we don't just mean David or Jesus. We mean their character, what they're like. So to believe in Jesus' name is to believe in who he is and all about him, what he's done. To believe in Jesus' name is to believe that he is the Word. He's God the Son. He's making God known. He brings new life to save us. But what does it mean to actually believe? Well, I believe that there's a train and it runs from Morden South Station to Sutton. Do you believe that? It goes every half an hour or so, except for today probably and tomorrow. And in just 11 minutes, you can go from Morden South Station to Sutton train station. I believe it. Do you believe it? It's true. You can believe it. But how would that make a difference to your life? Well, only if you get on the train and go to Sutton, if you want to go to Sutton. That's how it makes a difference. Just knowing about it is not enough. You've got to get on the train, and then it'll make a difference. So to believe in something is more than just accepting facts about it. You've got to do something about it. To believe in the name of Jesus is more than just accepting the facts, knowing that he was born as a baby, died on the cross, rose again. That's a step in the right direction. But if you really believe in Jesus, then you'll let him make a difference to your life. No longer just a swear word. No longer just a figure from history. No longer just a great moral teacher. But Jesus, who is wonderful, who shapes the way you live, and who you follow and obey. So God's present, all wrapped up in the manger, is the best present ever, well disguised, a good idea, showing us God, from someone who loves us, and at great expense. He's the present that we need to receive by believing in who he really is. But I said there were two presents, and that's just the first. What's the other one? Well, the second present, and it's in this passage, the second present is a new kind of life. So back to verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he, Jesus, gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Here's the second present. If someone receives Jesus by believing in him, then they can be a child of God, born of God. It's as if without Jesus, we've never really lived. We're not really alive. But if we receive Jesus, then God gives us real life. A life where, instead of God being distant and some kind of unknown figure, he's close by, well known to us as the perfect Father, giving us all the care and interest that we earthly fathers are so rubbish at. Now, in this passage, John uses another picture to help us understand this. He uses the picture of light and darkness. So verse 4. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light. I beg your pardon, that was verse 6. Verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then John comes, and he's a witness to testify concerning the light. So light in darkness, a picture of the new life that there is with Jesus. Now, I don't know what your house is like, but in the middle of the night, where I live, it's really dark. And if I get up to go in the loo in the middle of the night and don't have a light, I trip over all sorts of things on the way. A chair, hairdryer on the floor or something, bang into the door if it's shut. It's just so dark. What I need is a light. Fortunately, I've got a smartwatch, so I just turn it on and I get a little torch. Great, here I go. And this idea of light in darkness comes up again and again in John's Gospel. If we're not born of God, we're in the darkness. We stumble around, as it were, before God. God seems distant and unknown. And he is distant and unknown, because left to our own devices, we're just not good enough to know him. But Jesus brings life, and that life is like light in the darkness. If we receive Jesus, it's as if someone turns on the light and we can see where we are and where we're going. We can see that God is there, that he forgives us. He accepts us and makes us new. And he gives us a new life that lasts forever, eternal life. And that's the second present in this passage, new life. Now we receive the first one, how? By believing in Jesus. How do we receive the second? Jesus says, it's from God and it's to everyone who receives him, Jesus. Verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So receive Jesus, and you receive this second present as well. New life. And it's God who does it. We can't do it on our own. We can't sort of earn enough points, as it were, before God to get this. We've got no right to it at all. But God can give it to us. But we're not born into it. We can't make a decision of our own to have it. Someone can't give it to us. It's from God through Jesus. It's an amazing present. New life. Light instead of darkness. Life as a child of God. Something that comes to people who receive Jesus because of him. Well, only a few hours now. 6 or 7 maybe, or maybe you'll get up at 5, I don't know. Whenever you're up, you'll be able to open your Christmas presents. And in the face of the most massive commercialisation of Christmas ever, I want the biggest and best Christmas present. And John's gospel says I can have it. And you can too. Two presents from God, the best presents you could ever have. The question is, have you received them? And if not, will you receive them? Will you receive from God the present of Jesus, the Word made flesh, the Creator, the one who reveals God, who brings life, if we receive him by believing in his name? Will you receive the present of new life, being born of God, something that comes as to a person when he or she receives Jesus for themselves? Life lived as a gift of God with his grace poured out on you. Let's pray. And why don't we spend just a few moments just reflecting on this passage and the two presents that are in it, and bringing those our thoughts to God in our hearts. Heavenly Father, this is an evening of wonder, of excitement and anticipation. Work in our hearts, Lord, so that these things would be met not just in the presence under the tree at home, but in your greatest present to us of Jesus and the new life that we can have in him. We pray in his name. Amen.